text this morning is the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 2. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. And these are your words, Heavenly Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed in Christ, the wise men, these Gentiles from the east, go first of all to Jerusalem, the capital of Judea. They go there in their search for the newborn king of the Jews. Why Jerusalem? Well, why not? It is where one would expect to find a newborn king. Jerusalem is where the palace is. Jerusalem is where the temple of the Most High God is. Jerusalem makes sense. But the Christ is not born there. The theologians of Jerusalem actually know where the Christ was to be born: Bethlehem. Bethlehem had been foretold centuries earlier by the prophet Micah as the birthplace of the ruler of Israel. These men, learned in Old Testament writings, are oblivious to the actual birth of the Christ. Nevertheless, they are able to direct the wise men to the right location, as God's word had truly revealed. Before they go, King Herod meets secretly with the wise men with a request. "Let me know when you find this baby king, and then I can come and worship him too." Imagine that, a secular ruler with such interest in the Christ, the newborn Savior of the world. But alas, the interest is feigned, at least for worship. There is, to be sure, interest on the part of Herod for the whereabouts of this new king, but his interest is for murder, not worship. He desires information from the wise men so that he can then eliminate a possible threat to his cherished power there in the government of Judea. He is a jealous king and will allow no competition, however insignificant it might seem to be. The wise men go their way. They have the word from the prophet Micah, and then the star they had seen in the east now goes before them again, leading them onward to the true light of the world, Jesus Christ. Here, let us understand, is the true worship of the Christ child. It is faith in this word of God, the word that reveals the Christ. Faith is the highest worship. Without faith, in fact, there is no worship. Herod spoke outwardly of worship, but there was no faith, only a stubborn unbelief. In contrast, these Gentiles from the east, these are the ones who come to that house of Bethlehem and, seeing the young child, fall down and worship him. The outward circumstances of this child are humble. There are no riches that would signify the greatness and power of this new child as the new ruler of Israel. There is no grand palace, no royal guard to protect him, no servants to take care of his every need. Instead, there's this house in a small town with only his mother in attendance. But the word of God overcomes such outward appearances. The wise men trust that word and will not be swayed from that truth by the apparent poverty that surrounds the child. In response to this great gift, Jesus the Christ, they fall down, kneeling in adoration to the Word made flesh, and present their meager gifts in response: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We are reminded here of the words of another prophet, Isaiah, who foretold, "Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. The wealth of the nations will come to you. They will bring gold and frankincense and will bear good news of the praises of the Lord." To us in these days at the start of another new year, to us comes this word of God that still leads us to and gives us the Christ, the Savior of the world. This is the one we need for our lives filled with all the brokenness of our sin, with the debris of accumulated guilt, and with the burdens and scars that the sins against us contribute to our poor lives. We dare not look to the riches or wisdom of the world for solutions to these. We are not a do-it-yourself weekend spiritual project that can be fixed up well enough. What we are is a structure so damaged that we are pronounced condemned. We need a complete rebuild. And that is just what this Christ, the child of Bethlehem, accomplishes for us. As Martin Luther preached, "I need a Lord who is able to make me, a lost and condemned creature, righteous again, redeem me from sin, death, and the devil, and bring me to heaven and everlasting life. This is where faith belongs, that you adhere zealously to God's word." We know of this Lord, Jesus the Christ, only through the word of God. That is why Luther and all faithful preachers of the Christian church emphasize again and again, the word, the word, the word. We know of Christ in the word alone. To it we are directed as the revelation of God that gives us Jesus, our Savior from all sin. It is true that in comparison to much of what we find in this world filled with treasures galore, that word and sacrament and Christ will appear insignificant, weak, maybe even more than a little shabby and unattractive. But it is the word that saves, for the gospel is the power of God for salvation. Again, as Luther confessed, the greatest and foremost skill, no matter who the person is to cling firmly to the word and conceive of the things of God in no other way than as the word tells us. For this reason, we should accustom ourselves to know nothing about God and Christ apart from the word. This is no easy task set before us. Those enemies of Christ which make their appearance in this text, Herod, etc., have their successors around still today. This makes it even more necessary that we take to heart the promises of God, the word alone, as that which gives protection from the enemies of Christ and those who believe in him. And as God protected the wise men and his Christ, his Son, from the machinations of evil, so does he to this day provide safety for those who trust him, believing his word and promise of forgiveness and salvation. A pledge of peace from God I see when thy pure eyes are turned to me to show me thy good pleasure. Jesus, thy spirit and thy word, thy body and thy blood afford my soul its dearest treasure. Keep me kindly in thy favor, O my Savior. Thou wilt cheer me, thy word calls me to draw near thee. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us open our hymn books to the front, page 149. And there let us join together in saying collect number 19, and you may rise. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you have given us the light of your holy word, the guiding star that leads us to the Christ child. Send, we beseech you, your Holy Spirit into our hearts, that we may receive this light and make use of it for our salvation, and that we, like the wise men when they were seeking the star, may not be afraid because of any hardship or peril, but put all our trust in your only begotten Son as our only Savior, devote our earthly possessions to the advancement of your kingdom, and in all things serve him your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.